Well, I'm going to ask a very personal question. Are you ready for it? Here it is. How is your relationship with the Bible? Peculiar question, but I feel it's an important one. Is the Bible someone that you only see on Sundays or on formal occasions? Is the Bible someone that you look forward to meeting? Or is it someone that you want to hide away from? Do you feel that you can trust the Bible in times of trouble and perplexity? Or is the Bible more likely to confuse the issue and add water to your hot oil? I wonder if you value the Bible's contribution to your own life, or is it largely irrelevant to whom you are and to what you do? How fearful are you of what I might say about the Bible? What are you hoping that I'm going to say? And what are you hoping that I'm not going to say about the Bible? Have you ever had the Bible used against you in a hurtful way? And does that still cause some sort of pain and resentment? I ask these questions because our experience of the Bible will influence how we feel about the Bible. And how we feel about the Bible will then influence how we come to it, and whether we come to it trusting in it and loving in it, or is it something that we'd rather hold further away, something that we tolerate on Sundays but largely prefer to leave it on the shelf. We can carry unhelpful images of God, authoritarian images of an uncaring judge who is quick to condemn us. And some such images will prevent us from experiencing the fullness, the richness that God has for us as his children. And I believe it's true too of our image of the Bible. We can have unhelpful images, and they will prevent us from coming as close to the Bible as we can. When I realised I was a Christian at the age of 17, I did two things. The first thing I did was to sponsor the Bible Society £6 a month, and I've been able to do that ever since. And I was 17 then, and just 27? Maybe a bit more. The Bible Society do a fantastic work through our world, translating the Bibles into many, many different languages, and not just spoken languages, but also into Braille and into audiobooks, so that everyone can have access to a Bible. All the main languages are covered, but there are still thousands of less widespread languages that are needing to have the Bible in their own language. And then also language changes over the years, and so there's updating those ones that are already existing. Their work is fabulous, and of course the Bible Society are also overlooking Open the Book. The other thing I did was to buy myself my own Bible. It was a Good News Bible, and I eagerly soaked it up, reading the whole Bible, and managed to do it in a year. And it became for me a very close friend. And sometimes parts of it were very perplexing and didn't understand. Sometimes part of it I just didn't agree with. And they were really hard passages to come to terms with. But at all times, the Bible was for me my best friend. and easy to come to and easy to be with. But when I was at university and at the Christian Union, we're discussing about something, and it went to another topic, and then it led me on to a train of thought. And so I shared the train of thought with the others, and I was quite surprised because there was a very sudden lashback towards me, and people were standing up and shouting at me, and they were quoting a particular verse at me. They were accusing me that if I carry on, I'll be a heretic. When I got home, I was deeply distressed, to say the least, and just cried out to God. And it was the first time I heard God say something to me audibly. It was just a couple of words, and it brought peace to me. I've realized over time what I was trying to explore and explain, that actually there's a large number of people that agreed with what I was saying. I didn't have the words to put it properly then, but it has very much influenced from other writing what I believed then and to what I believe still now. But it was really difficult coming close to that passage that was so violently used against me. And whenever you had the readings and coming up, kind of always hoping that one wouldn't come up. And when it did come up, all those feelings would come back again. Over time, though, I've grown to be able to understand what the passage was actually meaning. And it was quite different to how they were using it. And I grew to love that passage. And I look forward to when it comes up and is a very beautiful passage. My hope, though, is that not many of you will have experienced such aggressive use of the Bible against you. But I think there's a greater chance that you may have experienced aggressive attacks towards the Bible itself. You know, things like, science has disproved the Bible. The Bible has changed with Chinese whispers. You can't believe what we read now is what was written all that time ago. The Bible's out of date anyway. It's sexist and homophobic. It was written by men for men. The attacks go on, and that can hinder our own relationship with the Bible. I think it can cause us to go in either of two ways. Either we'll become defiant defenders of the Bible. Everything it says is true. We become more and more literal as we read it and understand it, and more literal as we apply it to other people. If it says 7 days to create the 6 days to create the world, it took 6 days to create the world. Seventh day, of course, was a resting day. Become very, very conservative about how we think and treat the Bible. Or we can take the other view, far end of it, and actually agree with those criticisms and just let the Bible drift away from us. It is out of touch, after all, with what we're living through today. But I believe that today's readings encourage us to live between those two places. It's a bit like being on a beach and you've got the flags that mark where it's safe to swim, and too far on the other end of the flag is dangerous water, too far on the other flag is dangerous water, and we've got to somehow hold the Bible in between those two places. And we use the other one to stop us going beyond that flag, and the other way around, when we're getting too far to that way, we can use this flag to bring us back. The first scripture reading we had was from Paul's letter to Timothy. And the verses I've picked out is where Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Because after all, the Bible is too important to be ignored or to be ignorant about. It's more than laws. It's more than story. It's more than history. It has the Spirit of God breathed throughout it. It is, after all, about relationships between people and God, about relationships between people and people, about the nature of people, the nature of God, and how people can live more godly lives. And we can't just let all that drift away from us. From the New Testament reading, I chose a part, you search the scriptures because you think you will find eternal life in them. The scriptures tell about me, but you refuse to come to me for eternal life. The Pharisees were experts in the law, and they went to great lengths to uphold the law and to encourage others to uphold it. They spent so much time with the written word that they missed the living word that was within them. John's Gospel begins brilliantly. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And later we hear he specifically says the Word is Jesus. John is talking about Jesus as being the Word with God and is God. And many people could not see the living Word with them. Salvation, after all, comes from Jesus, not from the Scriptures. And we have to hold these two passages so that between them we can learn to come to love the Bible, to hold it closely in our hearts, to be challenged sometimes by what it says, and to be comforted by the words it brings. I want to finish off by giving you a practice called the Lectio Divina. And it's a practice of how to read the Bible. And first of all, the easy bit is reading the Word, and whichever system you use of choosing to what to read next, you'd read it in a nice comfortable place. You'd read it with a translation that speaks your language, and you just spend some time slowly going through it. The next phase of the Lectio Divina is to meditate upon what you've read, and the meditation is really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not you trying to form, well, that means this, that means that. It's kind of letting go and saying to the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today through this passage? And you just give the story some time, you live through the bits of the story that you've just read, and let the words, and some words will pop up to you. And more than likely, those are words that God wants you to take notice of. And then you pray through that. You use those words. It might have given you a hard feeling. It might have made you feel quite, why is he telling me that? It might be confusion. It might be just, oh, thank you, Father. I really needed to hear that today. And so you pray through that. Your responses to God. And the last part of the Lectio Divina is contemplation. And that really means it's just to sit with it, not trying to think thoughts, but just to let it sit with you. Just sit in the middle of it. It's a story. Just sit in the middle of it, and in the silence, just letting that scripture become a part of you. I found for me during that bit most helpful that I would just repeat a couple of words, because my mind is always very busy and thinking of lots of thoughts. So I just take a couple of pieces and just lift that. So for us, all scripture is inspired by God. So I might finish off by just going, all scripture is inspired by God. And repeat that in my mind and let myself be drawn into stillness. And I believe if you're able to follow something like that, that the Bible will become truly a great friend to you. So may the Bible become your good friend. May you be healed from any hurts and fears you have towards our sacred scriptures. May the Holy Spirit greatly bless you and reveal the majesty of our Creator God and the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.